on 1116 SEN. The Science of Sport with Craig Harper, Jackie Lada and Mark Fabreo.
Oh, good morning, folks. Welcome to the Science of Sport on this fine, not so fine, a little bit cloudy, let's be honest, 19 degrees, not so warm, let's be honest. Sunday, 7 minutes past 10 o'clock. The Science of Sport is us. We're here every Sunday between 10 and 11 o'clock for another month or two until footy kicks off. Jackie Lauder, Professor Mark Fabreo, Craig Anthony Harper at your service. You want to talk to us, we're here, 9429 1116. If you want to ring us and ask us stuff, we talk about stuff relating to sport, sport science, performance, nutrition, recovery, optimal performance in all areas of training and competitive sport and not so competitive sport. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. I was wondering if we were actually going to say hello at any point.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't want to get you up to. Yeah, well, I do what I can. I try to set it up for the listeners, especially the newbies who go, who is this bloke and what is this show about? So now they know. How has your week been?
My week has been very good. I always enjoy it when the tennis is on. We've seen some pretty good matches. Mm.
Surprised by last night's outcome?
I don't think anything particular in sport is surprising, like to the point where we go, wow, absolutely never saw that coming. But I certainly didn't expect the result to go that way. But it's really refreshing. And I was talking to Brett Phillips earlier and I said to him, and I followed tennis for a long time and worked at the Australian Open for many, many years. And the control that Kerber showed from the very start, and even Serena's tactics of yelling and doing everything like that, she didn't get distracted by that. She was so composed. She didn't go over the top and try to do anything. And I think that's probably as the match went on, you could see that she was there and just knew what she had to offer and what she needed to do. So it was really refreshing to see.
And nice to see somebody who's been a bit of a, well, not this, as she's better than this, but a journey woman at 28 years of age, getting a crack and winning her first and perhaps her only Grand Slam. Let's hope she goes on to win another one. But certainly good to see people who have, I mean, she must have been a professional for 10 years or so.
It's good for the sport.
Toiling away and good to see that persistence pays off. Mark Fabreo, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I obviously watch things for different reasons than Jackie. And I watched this match last night and I actually think that one, and I've been on my high horse about this for a while, but one of the things that I think was important was the power and the ability for Kerber to sustain long rallies with powerful hitting and then back up with another. And to me, if you looked at both of those individuals on court, they were both in supreme physical condition. And that's, Craig, possibly what it takes for a 28-year-old to take the next step. Mm. And sadly, I think there are athletes, and we won't personalise it, but who are Australian, who think that talent alone that talent alone is going to get them to the next step. The other person I looked at the other night who unfortunately sustained an injury, but Milos Raonic, he was comparable with Bernard Tomic when they were younger. He just looks to me to be much fitter.
Yeah, well, I think, we all understand, especially for men who've got to play five sets, that you can have all the talent in the world, but if that's not wrapped around some endurance, some strength, some, you know, super-duper foundational kind of training that's going to set you up so that you can be good and switched on and capable for five sets and be strong for five sets, then doesn't matter how, and we've seen that in AFL too, where guys are superstars for a quarter or two. It's a little bit different these days because the athletes are more highly trained. And we see the same thing. I know that no one's a big fan here, but in the UFC where they've got to fight in title fights for five 5-minute rounds, and you think about boxing being 3 minutes exhausting. Well, try 5 minutes. It's like 5 hours in there. If you want to chat to us, 9429 1116. If you want to send us an SMS that we can unpack for you, 0433 98 1116. Peter in Essendon has done just that. G'day, Peter.
Hi, how you going?
Good, thanks.
Love your show.
Thank you.
It's been fantastic. My wife and I listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
I had a question about recovery. You see a lot of elite sportsmen walking around with those foam rollers.
Yeah.
I guess I'm in my late 40s, and I'm just feeling that I'm getting just more fatigued, and I just feel sore after exercising now. Do they play a role in recovery? Is it something I should be looking at?
Well, they can. It depends what you're doing. But in terms of being in your 40s, that's kind of a normal thing, because things are gradually from, 35 onwards, maybe earlier, depends on the individual. But things are starting to shift a little bit from a hormonal perspective. So testosterone starts to wane a little bit, and growth hormone and all those things. And the thing is with recovery, it's a really multi-layered thing. So it's about sleep, it's about hydration, it's about the intensity with which you train, it's about the period of time or the recovery time between workouts, it's about whether or not you jump in an ice bath, it's about, whether or not you get a massage. And if you need, they use those rollers for this thing called myofascial release, where it can just kind of unlock, for want of a more technical term, knotted up muscles a little bit. And it's almost like a self-inflicted painful massage. Very painful.
Very painful.
But not a bad thing to do. And also food is a massive part of recovery, Peter. So, yeah, you really got to listen to your body a little bit, and just kind of, as I always say, your body is a biofeedback system. Your body is really, really very intelligent. It's always telling you something. If you're somebody who suffers from, really, really tight, for example, hamstrings or quads, then that would be a time where you would maybe use one of the foam rollers for a little bit of release around the muscles.
Peter, Craig summed it up really well, but you just have to accept that with age, recovery is going to be hampered. The other thing you need to probably think about is doing some core exercises like Pilates. As you get older, it's an area where it's the origin of a lot of injuries, is that if you have an unstable core, and you might want to see a physio or a osteopath or something like someone like that who actually can assess whether or not you have a weak core. But you just have to accept that recovery is going to take longer.
Thanks for your call, Pete. One of the things I actually wanted to talk about, and I know you've got stuff today, but maybe we'll just open the door on this now, because it's kind of, we're talking about recovery and training and bodies as we get older. I wanted to talk a little bit about two things. One, we'll talk about later in the show, which is functional training. Everybody goes, what is functional training? And functional training is actually a couple of things. So I thought we might explain that a little bit. But also muscles that, or areas of the body, Mark and Jackie, that traditionally get neglected, right? For example, do you remember in the 80s and 90s, there used to be ab classes? Do you remember that? Where literally ladies primarily would go to the gym, and they would do, in essence, 50 minutes of sit-ups. So
really?
In other words, So spinal flexion. So Essentially they're doing this movement. I'm simulating.
Through gyms is where they were running this?
Yep, they would run abs classes. They'd run tummy, hips and thigh classes and all these things.
Yeah, I remember those in the 90s.
But so what we saw through that time, and even what we see now in the gym a lot, is where we see people with very strong rectus abdominis, some people, so that's your six pack, right? Then underneath that a little bit down towards your hips, down towards your pubic area is transversus abdominis, right? Which is the deeper muscles. Quite often people don't work those. But most importantly, what we see is a lot of people with a weak lower back, because very few people train their lower back properly, okay? So just keep in mind that. And also we see people train their upper back. So they do lat pull downs, they do one arm rows, they do chin ups, they do bent over rows. So we get these really strong upper backs in women as well as men, where there's this disproportionate allocation of strength. So their upper back might be a 7 or an 8 out of 10, but their lower back is a 2 or 3. And so very rarely do you hear somebody say, I hurt my back, and it's my upper back. Like, you think about people who hurt their back, it's always their lower back. And one of the reasons is, one, it's more vulnerable because of where it is and because of the way that we move and the amount of time that we sit. But two, it's a very, very undertrained muscle group. So that's number one. If you're thinking about having a really good balanced level of strength all over. One, train your deeper abdominal muscles, transversus abdominis. Google it, look it up, ask a trainer, ask an exercise physiologist. Train your lower back, ask someone in the gym. Train your bum, train your glutes, train your hamstrings. And here's one that very few people will ever tell you. Carefully train your neck extensor muscles. So what we see is a lot of people who have, like I have right now, like we all have in this studio right now, very forward head posture. So if you're looking at someone from the side and you want to know whether or not they, or you want to know whether or not you have good posture, pretty much the middle of your ears should be in a line with the middle of your shoulders, so that you are standing up straight and your head is in what we call a neutral position. But if you look at a lot of people today, because of the way that we sit, the way that we move, the way that we inhabit workstations, we have this very forward posture with our head, and therefore our neck is sitting forward, our shoulders are sitting forward. So what we then get is these really tight muscles through the chest, which keep our shoulders forward and create this kyphotic posture. So we need more flexibility through the chest, more strength through the upper back, and more strength through the rear muscles of the neck. Is that too much information?
No, you sounded like me.
Did I just describe you?
No. I'll make 2 points. The one point you made about the lower back and the hamstrings is really important, because most people, I don't know if you would agree with this, but certainly in endurance, most people have a strength imbalance between their quads and their hamstrings.
For sure.
So particularly in endurance sport, So if you have a vulnerable lower back and you have weak hamstrings, that is a recipe for getting really, really bad hamstring problems.
Yeah.
Because a lot of hamstring injuries originate through the lower back, because that's where the origin is. That's one thing. The second thing about if you really, really want to train the neck the way that you've said, seriously, buy or ride a time trial bike. Because when I've got back into triathlon, I've noticed how we're...
He brings everything back to a push bike.
Can I just say, you put yourself in that time trial position, you're doing this with your head, and it is really,
you know, this
really
is not
taxing.
Television.
No, well, you did something.
Can I just add...
You did it. Excuse me.
You did. What are you, eight?
Excuse me. Who did a sit-up in their chair about a couple of minutes
ago. But I explained to the listeners what I was doing.
Can I just say, when we're talking about recovery, I think one of the things that I hear commonly is people don't understand an active versus a passive recovery. And a lot of people who are just getting back into exercise, and if they're running and maybe in their 40s, is they'll have a complete non-rest day and they do nothing, or they finish a long run and then they just go and sit down rather than maybe walking around a little bit, or after you've run a marathon, you should the next day get up and move. So I think, obviously, I can't talk too much about the same areas that you guys can, but from a general recovery understanding, I think a lot of people don't know to add in swimming and non-weight bearing and, like you said, Pilates or active versus passive.
I think the key there is what your body needs every day
is movement.
Of your life is movement.
Yep.
It does not need to be a statue. There's never a time where I would prescribe somebody to, unless you're dying or you've got something broken, lying on a couch 24 hours a day is never a good recipe for anything.
Mm.
So, either training or doing something something which is passive, but still something that's getting you moving about. We'll take an early break. When we come back, Jackie's going to, I don't know, she's got something she said, I want to talk to you about, but I'm not going to tell you before we come on air because I want it to be a surprise.
Because that's what we decided we would do the other week.
It's amazing.
To get spontaneous.
It's amazing.
I never said that.
By the way, that sounds nothing like Jackie.
Yeah.
It's totally like Jackie. 21 minutes past 10.
On 11:16 SEN. The Science of Sport with Craig Harper, Jackie Lada and Mark Fabreo.
Wow. Morning, folks. If you join us for the first time, The Science of Sport, 25 minutes past 10 o'clock. We're here until 11 talking about all things sport, training, recovery, you. High performing thing, you. 9429 1116. If you want to talk to Professor Mark Fabreo, superstar, Jackie Lauder, superstar, or me, nothing in particular. Jackie Lauder, a couple of SMSs. Top one.
Yeah, we were talking before about how talent is not enough to get you where you need to go. And Daniel from Balaclava wrote, his dad used to tell him, talent will get you to the party, hard work needed if you wish to be on the dance floor. I've not heard that one, but I like that.
Yeah, I like that, Daniel. There's something in that. And somebody said, give us an opinion on F45. I haven't done F45. I understand the concept. It's as I understand it, haven't researched it a lot. I actually spent an hour talking to the bloke who invented it from Sydney, who I think is out of it now, but kind of interval training-ish, I think, kind of seems to be
people 45 minute fitness, 45 minutes, really.
Well, I do know a high-profile athlete here in Victoria that you and I have interviewed who has bought into one. I don't know if I can say that or say that person's name, so I won't. But there's quite a few athletes who have bought franchises.
Well, it's up on the website. It's up on the website who owns them.
Oh, right. Well, yeah. It seems to be growing and it seems to be popular. And but I don't have any experience doing a class, so I'd just be talking out the top of my head. Jackie Louder.
Yeah, I was talking to a client during the week and I have this conversation regularly about, and it kind of goes down the food line a little bit because it's the most obvious examples. But when we start to become unaware of how we've developed the habits that we have and some of the thinking that we have, and what I was explaining to this client was, in every household, if we talk about food, for example, at what age did you start to not think about or be aware of how your body was feeling after you eat? Mm. And one of the things that we hear in so many households is things like, you have to eat everything on your plate. Right, as that's an easy example. I don't know how many households would say that to their kids.
I'm grinning because last night my daughter said, Dad, do I have to eat this? And I go, do you want to? And she goes, no. And then I go, well, why would you?
Yeah. So, and the reason I was saying it is because what we do, we don't even realize as adults how influenced we have been on kids. But then as kids, we got that from our parents. And that's why every generation gets a little more evolved. But what the whole point of the discussion was saying, if you're told from a very young age, you've got to eat everything on your plate, you're not used to actually thinking about, am I full or not? You've just got, I've got to finish this amount. And most of us don't know enough about portion sizing. I then went on to explain, you know, if your parents have always said to you, let's say you went down to your mum and dad and said, oh, there's monsters in my bedroom. And they said, oh, don't be silly. A child is not developed enough to know that mum and dad meant don't be silly, monsters don't exist. They just think, oh, mum and dad think I'm silly. So as adults, we program kids who obviously then grow into adults, and that's often where a lot of our thinking starts to become very unconscious and we're not aware of where some of our habits develop. And I was interested to hear, you know, maybe from you guys as well as some listeners, some of the things that you realize now that was constantly said in your household or by adults around you that have probably impacted some of your behaviors.
I think you open an interesting door, and that is the way that we think about a lot of things. Mm. So like, is it really a food issue or is it a thinking about food issue?
Yep.
Is it, because we all have, well, I was a fat kid, everyone knows that. So I had a certain relationship with food, and I would say half the time that I ate, I didn't need food. I wasn't hungry.
Yeah, but you've lost that ability. If you're told eat everything on your plate, you're not told to, well, do you feel full or not? How many households, and it's quite different in Europe, but how many households where you finish your main meal and dessert is out so quickly?
Mm.
And so you just eat it because it's there. We're very fortunate. We're in a country where most of us, you know, are plentiful in the food area. So dessert comes out straight away. You haven't waited that 20 or 30 minutes to see if you feel like dessert. You just eat it because it's in front of you.
It's not relevant though. Like no one goes, do you need dessert? I mean, it's a cultural thing. It's a social thing. It's an habitual. It's a, this is how I live life on autopilot. This is just what I do. Mm. Whether I need dessert is irrelevant. I just eat dessert.
But that's where it started as a kid because that's where you learnt that.
Yeah, with the dessert issue, most people need to know, most people don't understand the physiology of fullness.
Mm.
So the physiology of fullness is simple. You eat, your gut secretes peptides, tells your brain I'm full. If you go and get dessert straight away,
doesn't get a chance.
It doesn't get a chance.
That's exactly right.
You know, there's some old wives' tales about drink, you know, things like drink milk and you'll go to sleep. That has physiological origins because of tryptophan. Mm. The thing about put your knife and fork down and chew your food, same. It's giving your body an ability, your gut, an ability to communicate with your brain that you should never reach for dessert straight away.
What about
because it's all in all likelihood you won't need dessert if you don't do that.
What about even the fact, Jackie, that some, and I'm not judging here, but this is a pretty common thing that we reward or we motivate our kids with. If you do A, B, and C, I'll take you to here,
yeah,
to a fast food outlet because you've behaved a certain way.
Yep.
So we start to reward behaviour with junk food so the kids will conform.
Yeah.
So what's the lesson there?
Yeah, and this is what I'm saying. When it's like, I'm obviously getting a lot of adults come through and they're saying, I don't know why I do this and whatever. And when you start to take them back and say, well, these are some of the behaviours we learn.
It's hardwired.
Yeah. The whole idea is as adults, as we learn more, be more aware of what you're actually saying, because you keep repeating that. That is what our kids grow up believing because they trust mum and dad or the adults around them.
If you want to chat about this like Vic in Essendon does, give us a call 9429 1116, or if you want to chat about something else, give us a buzz. G'day, Vic.
Good morning, team. Yeah, I'm one of those guys who's been drummed into, eat everything on your plate. And as a matter of fact, as a kid, the more I ate, the more I was given encouragement and kudos kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Coming from an Italian background too, sometimes Italians seem eating food like a sport. The more you can do, the better you are. And I've noticed now with my children, I was doing that as well.
Yep.
Until the penny dropped one day, and I thought, why do I ask them to eat so much? Stop whenever you want. And I tend to still finish up the plate and polish it off, which I think is a habit I've had as a kid.
Yeah, and I mean, that's exactly what we're saying, Vicky, is that now, as an adult, when you're trying to change your behaviours, you have to give yourself time to be able to do that, because obviously, until you've got that recognition and you've started to make some changes with your kids, but you keep repeating it. But now you've probably, as you said, you've got to deal with a weight problem because of habits from a long time ago.
You know, in defence of, you know, our parents, the whole reason about eat everything on your plate is because people didn't have a lot of money, so they didn't want to waste food.
Yeah.
I mean, but now I think, well, if it goes in the bin, or it's probably better than if it goes in their tummy because it's doing less damage. The other thing about, I won't get into the specifics, but Vic, you said that you ate, overate as a kid, and now you have a weight problem. Well, that is largely because if you think about a concept called epigenetics, right, which I won't get into, but the bottom line is that the behavior that you have as a child can sometimes program your genes to behave in a certain way as an adult.
Yep,
and then it's
totally.
Very, very difficult to break that cycle.
Yeah, and I'm not just talking about food, though. I'm talking generally, and I'm not having a go at parents and everything, because I think most of us are trying to do the best job we can, and you don't think about it. But if there's one or two things, where I started this conversation was when adults are trying to better understand why they do what they do, go back and have a look. And if you can understand that, you go, okay, cool, that's what I need to change, is I was always told to eat everything on my plate. Maybe I won't.
Thanks for your call, Vic.
The problem, you know, people have a very, very, very big problem and a big task at the moment, and that is, where do they get their knowledge from for all of this? And the thing is, you know, I'm a scientist and I'm really evidence-based. We talked about this, Craig. The thing is, there is so much pseudoscience in social media. You get people acting like gurus, and we talked about this, who don't know Jack, who then influence people because they have 5,000 followers on Facebook or Twitter, and all of this is unregulated. Mm. So it's very, very difficult. I really empathize with people who aren't professional, who are trying to get knowledge on diet, on exercise, on lifestyle, on sleep, because there are so many wackos out there who in social media are just completely, you know, have no knowledge. And the one thing that I will say here, and I don't want to get political, but this anti-vax movement, it's nuts. It's completely crazy.
I think what people need to do, people need to go to...
Don't open that door on the science of sport, please.
People need to go to credible organisations when they are trying to find their information, rather than following someone on social media, because a lot of people on social media and a lot of people who go out and try and present information, they can tell you their story and what worked for them, but that's all they can tell you. So you can't just go and follow what they did necessarily because that's their story. But if you go to, you know, Dietitians Australia or the Australian Psych Society or, you know, the physiological places, if you go to the reputable organisations, that's when you can find out who to go to.
Rightio, Jane Kilsyth says, well, I agree and disagree. I'm happy to compliment my kids if they eat all their dinner when it's nutritional. I tell them I'm not as concerned if they finish their dinner if I serve up junk. Thanks for your message, Jay. And from Anonymous, sometimes what a parent tells a child is for their own benefit. For example, smoking stunts your growth. Probably not true, but solid advice. I think there's a place for a little bit of fibbing and fear if it modifies a behaviour for the better. Sometimes, especially when you're talking to kids who probably don't understand what they're doing. And, off the SMS, I won't say the product name, but somebody's just put up a well-known product that's peddled in a multi-level marketing kind of format, of which there are many of those. And those people who sell those products, we'll call them products, they then call themselves wellness coaches, which is just a made-up term that's unregulated, that you need no qualifications for. My mum can go, you know what, I'm going to be a wellness coach. She can get a business card today and nobody can stop her from being a wellness coach because there's no legislation and no regulation. So unless the person, the nutritional expert or the wellness coach or whatever, with personal trainers being the exception because they have their own accreditation, but if somebody's telling you that there's some kind of health or wellness expert and they have no tertiary qualification whatsoever, alarm bells should be going off in your head. Am I right, Professor?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, it's difficult for people because there are so many of these people out there. And a lot of them, we won't get into it, but a lot of them have even faked having cancer, and I'll leave it at that.
Having said that, I will say, because I sounded a little bit snobby then, there are also some people who don't have a tertiary qualification who have got amazing knowledge experientially, and there are also some BS artists. It's 22 minutes to 11. Science Sport will be back very soon.
On 11:16 SEN, The Science of Sport with Craig Harper, Jackie Larder and Mark Fabreo.
Welcome back to Melbourne's home of sport at 19 minutes to 11 o'clock. The Science of Sport coming up after us, BP, in the first serve. And then Sports Central, Sunday Sports Central, I think Tony Shebeki steering the ship for the afternoon. That is correct. I've got the thumbs up from Blakey Boy out there who's just steering the ship beautifully today. Jackie and Professor Mark Fabreo are having a heated conversation. I've got to say a little bit of emotion. About people who, we won't say the, but you know those multi-level marketing folk who sell, you know, stuff in cans that apparently, oh, it's cellular health. Yeah, not so sure. No, crushed dragon's feet in it and bat's wings and I have newt. And you'll look 5 years younger by Tuesday. And I just want you to sign this, could you? But how are you? Good.
That's because they went to school at Hogwarts.
Well, that's, you know those people that you don't hear from them and... for quite a period of time, and then you hear from them, they're like, hey, I just want to tell you about this product.
But they also tell you, and I was explaining to you guys during the break that I had a friend I hadn't heard from for 5 years who then decided that they would get in touch with me. Hi, how are you? Hope you're really well. Just letting you know about this. I think this would be really good for you. First of all, don't tell me what's good for me when I haven't asked you for that advice.
And you're not a health professional.
And you have no medical qualifications at all or any. Even just exercise, scientists, nothing behind them. And that's the first contact you have in 5 years. Like,
and they do get a little bit evangelical.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And the thing is too, and we've spoken about this a lot, anything that sprouts that it is going to fix you with a tablet or very quickly for something that you have had an issue with for years and years, it will not change your brain. You have to work on doing that. And also, either through your behaviours, through your thoughts, a combination of everything.
And how do you know what's wrong with me if there is? Let's go to Tony in Frankston. G'day, Tony.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Listen, I spoke to you last week. I was running at Wangaratta Gift and I hurt my shoulder.
Yep.
Now, I've had ultrasound and an MRI. Now, I've torn the tendon off the supraspinatus and also the bicep tendon.
Yep, I remember.
I've got to have a shoulder reconstruction.
Yep.
Just wondering if you could give me some advice on the length of recovery with rehab and stuff like that, because I obviously do athletics and I umpire football, and I don't want to miss too much of either season. I know running season's over, but yeah, with rehab, roughly, I'm hoping to get in this week for a reco.
So happens I'm quite knowledgeable in this area from an exercise science point of view, because my training partner's just gone through the exact same operation, plus he had infraspinatus, which is the one below supraspinatus on the scapula on the back. Now, so they're going to put you in a sling, Tony, and you're going to be pretty immobile for about probably 4 weeks, and then you'll be able to have a tiny little bit of movement, and you'll have probably for maybe 2 or 3 weeks periods of time where your arm's out of the sling. But before you can start to move weight or work against resistance in any fashion would probably be somewhere in the 8 to 12 week range. But I hate to tell you, champion, but before you're back to brand ripping, awesome, new, no worries, no stress, probably somewhere in the 8 to 12 month range for it to be back to brand new, fully functional. So,
but, elite athletes, but I will tell you, at least.
Yeah, I will tell you, Tone, once it's done, it will be better than it was before you're injured. Thanks for your call.
It's a big operation, isn't it? A shoulder reco, and that's why I said elite athletes, you're looking at least 6 months. I mean, James Magnussen has just come back into swimming. He had his done about 7 or 8 months ago, so after Nationals last year, and that's someone who was in very, very good condition before it.
And you've got to keep in mind that the glenohumeral joint is
a massive joint.
It's also the least stable. It's the least stable. It's it's the most vulnerable. So it really, really relies on the muscles and all the attachments, ligaments, tendons, etc.
Can I just answer this question on the SMS? Our shows are on our Facebook site. So go to the Science of Sport 1116, you will find the shows. They're all podcasts there, so you can listen to them, take notes, whatever. We're getting a really good following and great questions that come through off our web, which is great.
Here's one for the prof. This is from Chris in Carlton. I'm 5'10", prof. I weigh 83. I've not been regularly exercising. I've set a goal to run a half marathon in 15 weeks. Is this a realistic goal? And I'm going to add another question that you didn't, Chris. Is this a realistic goal? And part two is, give me a little bit of a vague program, all less in less than 90 seconds. Go.
How old's Chris?
Don't know, but I'm guessing Chris sounds is like he's in his early 30s.
Okay, the first thing I'd do is go and get a checkup.
Okay.
Before you did that. Because if you have not been exercising, you want to run a half marathon, that's going to be a big step up. Second thing is, yeah, it's realistic. It depends on how fast he wants to run it.
Sorry.
What are you laughing at?
I've read that same text message. I have no idea how you decided that he was in his early 30s. That text gives absolutely nothing
away. Well, that's the difference between you and me. You're not very perceptive.
I'm reading it just going...
Well, I'm based on, I tell you what, because people in the 80s, a lot of them were born with the name Chris. Okay, I'll answer more accurately. I don't have an effing clue.
All right. So the thing is...
You just were so confident with it. That's why I'm laughing. It's just you just...
It's because he went to see that guy last night.
Don't let facts get in the way, Jack. No, we've sent him to a doctor. He's going to get the okay.
Yeah, he needs to go to a doctor. And the other thing is that it's probably not that realistic if he's not been doing anything. But even if he walks some of it, that'd be good. A 10K would be more realistic. But anyway.
Well, we also don't know his starting point.
No, like I thought you said his starting point was zero.
Well, he said he's not. But, you know, some blokes are, because Chris is 33.
if you're right, that's amazing. He said he's not been exercising regularly. But Chris, okay. Can you text us back and let us know
how old
your
you
age,
are?
Just for our interest. And
if you're between 30 and 35, Jackie's going to wash my car for 3 months.
off the SMS as well, there was a question. What do you do if you have a partner and you know that they are eating too much but continue their bad habits of overeating? And then it followed up with saying it's particularly difficult when it is the male telling the female.
Oh, yeah.
With
brother,
regards to
don't
food.
Do it. Whatever you do, don't do it. Don't do it. There is no right way.
I think, well, the way that you want to try and word that is basically saying that, look, the two of us could probably, and do it as a partnership, you know, we could be better at probably managing some of this stuff, paying attention, let them know you've heard some information. So let them know you've heard some information and you don't necessarily pay too much attention to how much you're eating and just try and change the habits together. So but, you're and not, next time, don't, but don't and, accuse them of something. Just say, how do you feel about this?
And next time she says, does my bottom look big in this? Don't respond with, it looks big in everything.
somebody just SMS'd, Chris could be a 60-year-old female.
Exactly.
That's exactly
Thank you.
Right.
That's why I was laughing. It was
well,
just
we'll find out when Chris gets back to us, and then I either stand to be corrected or patted on the back. Well, I think the other thing to think about with this conversation is, and I talk about, all jokes aside, I talk about this stuff a lot because I talk to a lot of people about their spouses or their partners or their mums or their dads. The only person you can change is you. You can influence other people, but you can't change anyone. So the answer to their problems is them. But you need to make sure that whatever you do, don't try to coerce or manipulate or force, because you will create way more problems than solutions. So, you know, give them, I'm going to go do the 1,000 stairs on Sunday. Do you want to come?
It is easier with a pair. And I think the other thing...
Have a look how old he is.
He's 33. That's hilarious.
You are kidding.
The other thing...
Thank you, Jesus.
The other thing with language...
That is amazing.
I picked his exact age.
The other thing with language is instead of accusing someone, saying, you're doing this, you're doing that, it's more a matter of saying, you know, like I said, I feel or I think or what do you think about this, or I've noticed that we are doing this a little bit. Because as soon as you use you to try and get someone to change something, they feel attacked and they're going to defend. So you have to be very careful around that.
That is so true. The example I use is my brother, who didn't do anything for years and years and years. And all that used to happen is, you know me, I can tend to be a little blunt. And we used to have stand-up arguments about this. And then I stopped. I said nothing. And he wanted to change. And the change was phenomenal.
Yeah, I remember you've spoken about this before.
Because he wanted to do it, right? Now I'm so proud of him now. Like, he's like running all the time.
But you've got to understand too with people that what you may think the reason that they're not addressing something may not actually be it. And so you can't assume, oh, they're lazy or they don't care or they don't know something. There might be something else going on for that person that you need to understand first as their block or their barrier, and then say, okay, how can I help you with this? Is there something I can do? I'll do that challenge with you. Or what about if we started walking after dinner or whatever. So just always get that little bit of extra information, because it's not always what it seems.
Can you read the top SMS, please, Jackie? Come on, read it out.
Chrissy in Carlton says I should start washing the car because he's 33. But I wasn't having a go at you.
I was
laughing at the fact that you were so confident when the SMS gave us no info.
But the only question
I never said I'd wash the car. You told them.
But the only question is, was I right? And the answer is yes.
Bring the car around, SEN. We're on Swan Street.
Let's go to a break. We'll be back on the other side of this.
On 11.16 SEN, The Science of Sport with Craig Harper, Jackie Larder and Mark Fabreo.
Welcome back to Melbourne's home of sport. We're nearly done and dusted first serve with Brett Phillips. Coming up between 11 and 12, Shabluki is back at midday with Sports Central. We've become a sports/mentalist show. Lee and Lilydale, after my earlier prophetic kind of accuracy, Lee's gone. Oh, now is L-E-E, is that a lady or a guy? No, it's a boy. It can be a boy, can't
Either.
It? Either.
Well, depends if it's short for Leanne.
Well, L-E-I-G-H is normally boys.
Yeah.
And I think it's a boy, though, because I can't see a lady riding her.
No, it's a boy.
I'm 5'9", 83 kilos. Just started ramping up training. I'm running 5Ks in 28:45. Play squash 3 times a week. I'm doing a mud run in 2 months. How old am I? I'm going to go, well, Mark said 42. I reckon you're around that as well. I think you're probably very close to 42, but just to be different, I'll say 44.
And I've gone 41, but I've just come in from washing Chris's car, so I don't know.
That's exactly right. Yes, Mark.
Can I just give two quick acknowledgements to people I don't know?
But sure.
First one is to Bridie O'Donnell, who's a 41-year-old medically trained athlete who broke the one-hour world record.
Amazing.
That was amazing. Number two is Dylan Alcott, who is our wheelchair tennis player who
superstar.
Won. And I don't know if you saw the banter between him and Novak Djokovic yesterday, but he's been on Brett's station, and he sounds like a terrific guy. So to those two people, well done to both of you. World champions, awesome.
Absolutely. And I'm going to give a shameless plug because we don't have a sponsor for this show. If you want to sponsor this show for the last kind of 8 weeks, let us know.
Or next year.
So I'm doing a gig on March 12th for my real job away from radio. My real job is speaking all around change, behavioural change, performance, behavioural psychology, all that stuff, a little bit of Jackie's stuff, but a little bit of creating better results in your world. I'm doing a gig in Melbourne open to the public on March 12th, 2 to 5, 3-hour workshop. Just go to Eventbrite, B-R-I-T-E, eventbrite.com.au. And search for me, and if you want to come along and interact and change life and get a little bit pumped and excited and motivated, come along and do that, and I'll give you a little bit of a hug, especially
Lee's
if you're 33 and your name's Chris.
Male 47.
You were nearest the pin again, Craig.
Yeah, well, there you go.
We were close, though.
Thanks, Lee. We were doing reasonably well. What's on for the rest of the day, Jackie Lauder?
I am having some friends over this afternoon, so I've been doing a little bit of cooking and preparing for that, so that'll be nice.
Now, for those who don't know, which is pretty much everyone, Jackie has an incredible gift for making amazing cakes. We should load some, ridiculous.
Okay.
We should load some pictures. And you?
I'm going to make sure that when I sit down to a meal, I don't have to eat it all.
We'll see you next week, folks, on the Science Sport between 10 and 11. Coming up after 11, BP, then Shebeck's in the studio at midday. Have a safe Sunday.